God is good, amen. You know, just listening to the stories, last week it was Niamh telling about the stories of God's faithfulness to her in our giving. And Louise told me a great story this week, and hopefully she'll tell you next week about giving on to God. And God is just so, so faithful. And we were talking about this, I talk with a lot of people during the week, so I can't remember who it was. But really, God's blessing, God has left certain things down to you and me, what we receive from him. He's left it. He's given us the choice to see things happen in our own life. For instance, he says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. So he's like, not that we're not forgiven when we confess our sins, but he's saying, if you want to know the full ramifications and beauty of forgiveness, well then be a forgiver. So who did he leave that up to? It's to me. So if I want to know the full ramifications and blessings and freedom that comes with forgiveness, well then I have to be a person who forgives other people. It's cool, isn't it? Another place he says, where the people, actually, I was reading this and it broke my heart actually for some reason. And then maybe God was speaking to me about my own life. But there's a place in Malachi that talks about giving. But when people are hard on themselves and hard on the people, they always use one part of it where it says the people were holding back their tithes, which is their giving of their 10% of their income, and they were holding back on their offering to God. And when people are really hard, like for instance, you know, like, no, I won't go for instance because I need to get into my word. It says in that part that God was saying to the people, you're robbing me. Now, if you can hear that from a different vessel, and you can hear, you're robbing gods. You're bad. You're real bad. You're robbing gods, you know, or worse, you're dead meat. You're robbing gods. But that wasn't God's heart in expressing that. What the people were doing was they were coming and God had given certain orders to come before him, the priests. Now, you know every time I get a chance to tell you, who's the priests in the New Testament? All of us. There's no one at the front and I'm the priest and I'm clergy and you're laity. That's a lie from hell. We're all priests. Jesus came to do away with laity, and he makes us all clergy, all priests. But in the Old Testament, a priest never came before God empty-handed. Never. And then in this Malachi bit, they were holding back and they were paneling their own houses and doing everything they wanted. And they were bringing God, instead of the order of the day, they were bringing them, you know, doves, where the dove was supposed to be, the force is supposed to be perfect. You were bringing doves with broken wings and lambs with broken legs and busted ears and busted face. And you were giving God their leftovers. The worship of God is supposed to be our number one priority. And the people, and God says, you're robbing me of worship. You're robbing me of my ordained things. It's nearly like, keep your leftovers for yourself. I will take one dove from the baby, and that will be the purest act of worship in all of Israel. And the priest never comes before God, and we should never come before God without something to give him, a song, a word of thanks. Like, the priest should always be aimed with something. And in that part, here's where he leaves it down to you and me. He says that if you give unto me the tithe, the offering. He was saying to the same people that broken legs, remember, busted doves. He says, if you make me your priority by giving me your first fruits, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and the blessings will overtake you so much that you will not be able to contain them. So he says, who opens the window? God or us? It's amazing, isn't it? I'm like, wow, I'm robbing myself. I'm robbing him of worship and me of a blessing and me of living a blessed, prosperous life so that I can have what I need and have enough to give away. The New Testament says you will have bread to eat and seed to sow. I want all of that. I want bread to eat for me and my family, but I also want seed to sow for other people's lives. And I just believe over the weeks God is speaking to us, because I know he's speaking to me. I'm a giver, I'm a 10%er, I'm more than a 10%er. But I know the Lord is speaking to me. No, I don't want to, don't tip God like a waiter. Here's 10%. It's like, Lord, here's my first fruits. You know, we do ours by direct debit, and I miss having money to put in the offering. But the reason I went direct debit is because I'm like, Lord, this is such a priority, I never want to miss it. The first thing that comes out of my wage is God's money. Because I've made it that way. I've made sure that the bank is in for us. First money out of my bank every week is God's money. We went, like everyone else, we had to look at restructuring our mortgage. We went to the people that have our mortgage, and they says, what's that money going out there? And we said, that's our giving into our church. That's giving into the kingdom of God. Now, you thought the broker or whoever he was, like, what are you on about? He says, put that money in there and you'll have more money for off the mortgage. And he says, no, nobody gets that money. No man gets that money. No bank gets that money. That's God's money. And it's that, I think that's what God is speaking to us in these days. And what's it about, what Phyllis said? It's about your heart. That's what it's about. If he hasn't got that 10% of my life, he hasn't got any of it really. I just give him what I want to give him. Here's a leftover, a dog with a busted nose, cross-eyed and hook-toot. God is like, okay, you can have that for yourself. And I just pray, Father, that in these days, that certainly, Lord, me and we would not be just people of lip service, but we would be people that serve from the heart. And Lord, if we struggle, because this is a struggle, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us. Because every time you speak, grace comes to follow out what you ask us to do. I just release grace. I release, Lord, give us bread to eat, Father, and much seed to sow into our city, the nation, and the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you know what God says in all? Test me. He's like, and here's the thing. Test me. I'm like, there's nowhere else Jesus says, do not put the Lord God to the test. Do you remember when he was confronted by the enemy? And then in this book, God says, you can test me in this area and see. And see. Test him out. Suss him out. Is this real? Is this true? You'll only find out when you do. It's the only way. You can read it in books or hear stories of everyone else and you go, it's not happening to me. You just ask yourself, why? Okay, sorry. Great stories. Father, bless your word to us. You know, I just want to take a few minutes to tell us something that we already know, and then tell you some answers to the stuff we already know. And you probably know the answers as well. But Christy Dignam wrote a song a couple of years ago called How Can I Protect You in This Crazy World? Do you remember? And the reality is, the world is crazy. The world is bonkers. Unbelievably. Like, we'll get the good news, but here, this is the world we live in. And believe it or not, you are part of the answer of this world's problems. Jesus, God never created anything. Everything God created was created to produce an answer to a problem. He gave you eyes to the problem of not seeing. He gave us ears for the purpose of hearing. If we hadn't gotten, we couldn't. Everything he gave, everything he creates, him creating you, which he did, was created for a purpose, for a mandate, for an assignment of God in this earth. You're here to solve a problem. And this world has gone mad. Look at just this week. I was all over the news. I won't go into it too much because it's heartbreaking. Of a father murdering all of his family. Another shooting. Another young man dead. Another young person hanging themselves. The world is crazy. Why is this evil? What is going on? Like another bombing, another internet sensation of ISIS bombing up someone, cutting the head off somebody. In people in France in fear, in Belgium in fear, people in America in fear. Unbelievable amount of crazy stuff going on. Why such brokenness? Why such pain? Why so many wars? Why so much greed? I kid you not, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Well, at least I don't think I am. But you talk about greed. That like 3% of this world owns the majority of the wealth of this world. 3% of people own everything that you can see in this world. And yet there's people starving. There's breakthroughs in medication that couldn't be needed and science that could be needed. And yet there's a group of people that have the money to do that. And in fact, if you follow some of this stuff through, there probably is already the cure for lots of things and are being held back because of money. You look in places like where I grew up in Dolphin's Barn, and there's at any stage there was 30, 40, 50 heroin addicts. The government's problem was to introduce methadone to keep those same people who were oppressed by drugs, oppressed, stuck in their community so they could never really get out and break any poverty culture that they lived in. You live in a city where people have to lie to get benefits that we pay taxes for to help our own people out. You're like, this is just our city. This is just our world. Crazy stuff. And I want us to listen to a song for a minute. If you'd line it up there, Newly. Sound like, yeah. Don't say, yeah. Wait till I say, will you roll that, Newly? 2003, a band brought out a song called Where's the Love? They actually just released a new, a re-release of a remix, and it's not good. Well, I don't think it's good. So I want to play the original, and I want us to listen to the words where there's a band saying, "What in the world's going on with their world, Mama?" Roll it, Newly. Pretty crazy world we're living in, huh? What's God's response to this? What brings the world to this crazy madness, brokenness, greediness, racism, and killings, and all types of things? What has brought us to this place? You know what the Bible says? This has all come as a result of sin. This has all come as the world is lost because of sin. The world is broken because of sin. It's not only broken now. That's like not only now. This is going on since the beginning. And what's God's response to all of this? What do you think God would be looking at humanity and saying, what are you doing to each other? Do you think he's going to be angry? Listen to what the Bible says in John 3:16. This is God's response to an evil, broken, painful, bad, greedy world. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen to this, for God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his son so that the world may be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God. Of the Son of God. His response is love. His response is to give a son. His response is to provide a solution to the problem of sin. Because it doesn't take us long to fall into any of the things. We mightn't kill a load of people, but we can carry hatred in our heart. And Jesus said, that's as good as killing people according to God. We mightn't be the most greediest in the world, like with 3% of the world's takings. Or I know how greedy I can be. I know how selfish I can be. And God's response to me, to the problem, is to give his son. That we talked about the beauty of, you know what the world needs to hear, and we need to hear afresh today? That we need a savior. We're going down to Swanee. We're going down the river. We're being sold a pup every time by media and all other type of things. And we are taking it on board. And we need to remember, and this world needs to be reminded, that we need a savior. And God has given us a savior. And his name is Jesus. And it says that God's response was to save the world. I was thinking about this. And it says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. See, know the world If you've done a survey of people just out the door, what do you think of the church? Here's what they say. The church gives out about what's wrong. We're not here to give out. We're here to solve a problem. We're here to bring the message of reconciliation, to move in the power and dynamic of God, because He's given us the Holy Spirit for some of these things. But we give out about this, we give out about that, and they're bad, and they're bad, and they're bad, and they're bad, as if their sin was any badder than our sin. The only difference between them and us is Jesus. And in fact, there's no them and us. There's just us. What was that song? We are the world. We are the children. It's us. It's not like them. We point the finger at them. Point the finger at them is pointing the finger at us. And God didn't come to point the finger. He came to open His arms. This is His expression. Nailed to a cross. Rejected. Despised. So that those who believe in Him wouldn't get the condemnation that He took upon Himself for us. That we'd get acceptance. We'd get love. And we'd get Father's love. And some people say, there's books written on it that we're all going to go to heaven. But the Bible doesn't teach we all got to go to heaven. It's those who believe in Jesus. We need to get it straight. We need to be reminded of these things. And God has put in my heart to remind us of them. God doesn't send anyone to hell according to that scripture. We send ourselves to hell by not believing. But those who don't believe are already condemned. Not by God, but because of their unbelief in who Jesus is and what He came to do. No one will point a finger at God. You sent me there, son. You sent yourself. I gave my son. He took your guilt. He took your pain. He took your sin. You chose not to believe. And it'd be like this. Can you imagine a man or a person, let's say a man because it comes easier from a man to a man. You might say a woman if you're a woman. But imagine someone jumps in to a river. Make a choice, I'm jumping into the river. Or even, they didn't really know what they were getting into and fell into a river. And at the end of that river, which is a bit of a distance, there's a ledge. And down on the ledge, underneath the ledge where there's more water, is crocodiles. And they are hungry, mean critters. And the crocodiles are there waiting on, they're hungry. But someone falls in or jumps in, whatever the case may be. And they're going down the river, they're heading to their death. They're heading to certain destruction. They're heading to certain trouble. They know that they're going to be separated from all their loved ones forever. And then you see another person comes along. This man is on a collision course for death. Another person comes along and he sees the person that needs a savior. Someone needs rescuing. And the man goes and gets a rope and throws her in. And the other guy he's there, he wants to get out, he doesn't really know the full implications of the danger that's ahead. And the person up front throws a rope, but maybe he didn't see it for the first time. So your man gets the rope out again, and he runs over to another bit before he gets down, and he throws the rope, and he goes, hey, there's a rope, I'm here to rescue you, I'm here to get you out of this certain death thing. He goes, what, I'm here to rescue you, I've come to rescue you. And a man looks up and he goes, but what if I don't want rescuing? But there's crocodiles down there. How do I know I can believe you? How do I know I can put my trust in you that you will actually get me up out of this thing? And here's the savior of your man saying, just grab onto the rope. Grab onto the provision that I'm making for you to get you out of that place. Your man looks up and he goes, well, maybe you're just a myth. Maybe you're someone that doesn't even really exist. Or maybe you're just some teacher that doesn't even have a strength to pull me out. How do I know I can trust you? How do I know you're real? And the Savior, the person says, now look, I am real. I'm telling you the truth. And I am the way out of this destruction that you're finding yourself in. I am the one who's going to save you if you just believe in me and take a hold of the rope that I can get you out. Imagine the man says, no. Imagine the man says, I will make my own way out. Imagine the man says, I'll get through this situation by myself. But what about the dangers? I will face the consequences. Or maybe imagine the man could say, I don't believe you're the only rescuer. Maybe there's more at the end. Maybe there's someone else. Maybe there's another way, another person that will get me out. And they be waiting at the end. And the Savior looks down the road and he's like, but there ain't no one else. I am the only way out of this for you. And imagine he says no. Doesn't take the opportunity of the provision provided for him. And he goes over the edge. Who's responsible for that man's death? Himself. The world is out there in all the pain, in all the destruction, and there's a Savior who has come to say, I can get you out of there. I can rescue you. I have come to save the world. Now that word saved in that text, it's a Greek word called zozo. So it's not just I'm going to save you. Imagine the man says to the guy, by the way, in going down before his destruction, look, not only will I get you out of here, but I will set you up for life. I'll bring you into my house. I'll have resources to set you up that you don't have to go down this road. The Savior that comes, that word that he has not come to condemn the world, he's come to save the world, is the word sozo. And here's what the word means. The word saved here, the Greek word sozo, means that he has come to heal the world, to deliver, to protect, to preserve, to make those who he saves to do well, to make them whole, to restore, and for them to be in a place of recovery. So Jesus is saying his message to us that he has come to zozo, to give you life, to heal you, to protect you, to deserve you, to deliver you, to cause your life to do well, to make you whole, to restore and to recover things that have been robbed from you. Now that's good news. And the Bible, God, the Holy Spirit, who inspired men to write the Bible, he doesn't use words lightly. So he's come to heal. And that's not only those who don't know him, but it's also the salvation that he offers every person. You may need healing. And God says, I've sent my son, not to condemn you, but to bring healing. Healing in our marriage, healing in our hearts, healing in our relationships, healing in families, healing in brokenness that has occurred, of many things that has happened in our life, that he says, I'm not come to condemn you, I've come to give you. I've come to heal your heart, I've come to heal your mind, I've come. Now, what a message to the world. That look at the stats of any mental health issues in our society. And Jesus says, I have come, and I'm the rope that has been thrown in, and if you take a hold of him, his promise is that he will heal you. He will deliver you. What circumstances are you in that you need the deliverer to come? He promises he doesn't come to condemn you, but to save you, to deliver you. Reach out to him. Jesus, I need to get out of this. I need to break through on this. I need to be delivered. I need to be taken from one place and delivered like DHL to another place. He's like, he's thrown in the robe. He's already done it. He's already has come. He already has given his life. He already died. He already was put in the tomb. He already has risen from the dead. We're not looking back on some history lesson. We're talking about a Savior who's alive and well. I've come to protect. Sozo means to protect. How can I protect you in this crazy? Come to protect you. Now things happen to us because life is life. I won't kill you. I won't take you under if you hold on to him. And many of us have been in situations or thought we'll never get through. Put up your hand again. And you're here. And you're here. He says, I've come to preserve you. Even in this darkened world, no one. I don't know whether I told you these crazy stories, but one time I stopped a man from robbing a woman, and was using intimidation, and broke into her house and flooded her whole house and had pictures of her mom and dad saying he was going to kill them if they didn't give money. And this fellow was someone that
was capable of all of this. And I never forget, it was New Year's night, me and Sharon watching that movie, The Saint. And I get a phone call from the girl. So anyway, we went down, we got involved, and these people knew that I got involved, and I was coming out to actually get the facts. Do you remember that soaked up water to help clear this woman's house? And on the way out, I was going over the fingerless to Tomo, because he had one. And on the way out, the guy stood at the gate and done that. You're dead. And I knew this fellow was capable, and I had the wares to do this. And fear hit me on the way over to Tomo's, and I was like, what about my family? You know, what they were doing them days was they were just knocking at your door, and they'd shoot a shotgun in through the bottom panel of your door. And I'd seen this happen. Well, I didn't witness it happen, but I've seen the results of it. And fear gripped me, and I was like, what about my children? What about... And God has given us a heavenly language for a reason. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and if you have tongues and you're just not exercising, you're missing out on one of the greatest gifts that God can give you as an individual. And I just started praying in my heavenly language, because I didn't know any words to pray. That every word that I prayed prayerfully with knowledge was full of fear. Please don't protect me. And as I was saying, it was still even full of fear. And on the way over, God still speaks. And God says, no, what can man do to you? When God speaks, faith always comes, and grace always comes to carry it out. I ended up on the phone with that guy, and this is what it says to him. He rang me. I'm going to get you home. It's too late now. God has already spoken. It's all right when man speaks, but when God speaks, it's a different kettle of fish. And I says, why don't I tell you who I am? Because everyone in that world likes to tell you who they are. I says, why don't I tell you who I am? I'm the Son of God. Jesus died for me. I trust him as my Savior. I believe that he's with me today, and I said, if you come against me, you come against God. I met him 2 days later. He gave his life to Jesus and ended up in a Christian rehab. Would you believe that? That's the result of that. But, okay. Just in case I give you any illusions, I'm no big, brave person. But God preserves you. I was standing talking to Sharon and John Hoyland. I don't know where John is, but they'll tell you. They were this way. A man comes down the flats, and just before he gets to me, takes a knife out to stick it in the back of my head. And Sharon goes, no, and I turned around, and he went, he just went like that. Knife on his jacket and kept walking on. I don't know why he was going to do that. I think it was a mistake in identity. Somehow when I turned around, he knew there was a preservation order, and all came to his life. And even if that guy would have shot me, this is what God says, what can man do to you? Send you home, son? That's what he says to me. What can he do to you? If he wants to shoot you, all he's doing is sending you home. And fear went. And Jesus says, I've come to preserve you. I've come to protect you. It doesn't mean the vultures won't circle. It doesn't mean the dogs won't bark. It doesn't mean the wolves won't howl. But they won't come near your tent. It won't take you down. It won't take you under. Listen to what you were told by doctors in the last week. God will protect you. That you will have peace and joy and healing and preservation orders around your life. Listen to what they say to people, that the world speaks to people. Only the stuff that they know. You're depressed and you're never getting over. God says, I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to preserve your minds. I'm going to preserve your life. What's God's response to this world? The one that has always been. He hasn't come to condemn, he's come to save. Heal. Deliver, persevere, make whole, so that you will do well. And who's the people that show the ropes now? Jesus says the mission he had, he now gives to us. That's what he says. All the authority, everything, you've now the authority to heal, to deliver, to speak preservation orders over people, to make people do well, to speak prophetic words into their life so that their lives can expand and prosper. He says, now I'm going to give it to you. And we all get to get into the family business. And the Father's business is still saving, still healing, still delivering, still breaking through for people, still making people do well in life, still. And he says, now I'm giving you the message. And he gives it to us all. I want to remind us, first of all, because we're finished. One is, what do you need from Father?
He's already made the provision for us in Jesus. Can we stand up? Adam, could you put some nice, low, slow music? Did you get the hint? Thanks, Adam. And maybe, just if you want to close your eyes, just as a place of privacy. And maybe you've never even heard that Jesus was standing by waiting to rescue you. Maybe you've just been hearing about it and never experiencing Him, the Savior. You probably didn't even know you're drowned. You probably didn't even know about sin. You probably didn't look. I just fell into that river. No one even had to learn me how to get into that river. I just fell in because I'm a human. All humans have sinned. But I want to tell you, there's a Savior who will rescue you. And all you have to do is say yes to. All you have to do is say yes. I trust, I believe in you, that you're the Savior. You're my rescuer. You're the one, the only one that will get me out of this. There's nobody else that can get you out of it. Only Jesus. Just every eye closed and head bowed, and we haven't done this in ages. We need to do it. But if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, to be your rescuer, would you just put your hand up and take it back down very quick and say, no, will you pray for me? I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I'm not going to be someone, thank you, honey. I'm not going to be somebody that just ignores Him or left with blindness that I didn't see happening. I never seen Jesus, and I certainly don't want you to be one of those people that says, I'll make my own way, or I'll wait for another way. Listen to what Jesus says. There's no other way, only Him. And Jesus is truth. I remember a person saying to me before, they were from the community of Buddhists, and I remember them saying, Jesus was just a prophet. And I remember saying, would a prophet tell a lie? And they said, no, a prophet would never tell a lie. I says, well, this is what Jesus says, that He is the way, the truth, and there's only one way, He said. So He wasn't lying, therefore He was telling the truth. So if you're someone that's thinking there's going to be another way, or there's another religion or another branch of a tree that can get you to heaven, according to Jesus, there's no other way. But how do we get saved? How do we get sozo, healed, delivered, set free? It's by calling on the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, I trust you. There's been one girl already. Is there anyone else before I move on? I want Jesus. I want Him to be my Savior. Amen. I see it. I see it. Thank you, Lord. Well, listen, this is how it happened for me. And I want us to pray this prayer. And all the prayer is acknowledging that He's there to save. And if you do that from a sincere heart, you get zozoed. You're delivered from one kingdom into another kingdom. You're now taken from one place and placed in the protection of God, the preservation of God. No matter who makes a threat against you, it can't overcome or supersede the protection order of God over your life. Nothing can come to you unless He allows it. And if He allows it, there's a purpose, there's a reason, there's a growth, there's something in it for you. So can we pray this prayer together, and particularly you guys that put your hand up to give your life to Jesus for the first time. Two wonderful girls. Let's pray together from a sincere heart. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you do not condemn me for anything I've done wrong. But your hand is reaching out to me now to save me. And Jesus, by faith, I reach up and take your hand. And I acknowledge that those scars on your hands are for me. And I accept your rescuing. And I ask you for your zozo, your life, your healing, your deliverance, your prosperity. I accept it in Jesus' name. I declare that I belong to Jesus. Amen. Now for the rest of us, and you included, because let's get them a clap. Welcome into the family. That's what the Bible says. You're now stuck with us. We're all family. But there's some here, and we're believers, and we're broken, and we need healing. We need direction. And we believed all this stuff when we weren't Christians and became Christians. And then we come into the family and somehow we think Father's holding back on us. And this is what he said to the prodigal son's brother. All that I have is yours. The boy missed it. The younger boy got it and squandered it, but the older boy missed it. He said, I didn't even get as much as a calf of you to have a party with my friends. The father says, son, everything I have is yours. So whatever you need is already in the house. But we have to go to the cupboard and take it out. And this is what we're doing this morning. So just in an honest moment before God, Jesus has come not to condemn. So no matter where you're at, he doesn't condemn you. That's not a word in God's vocabulary. It's certainly not an expression of his heart. All his condemnation has been poured out on Jesus. So that you don't get any condemnation. You get sonship and daughterhood. Now the sons and daughters can go to the press. So in faith, would you just reach into that press? Because it's yours. It's yours. You know, Jesus already has given permission. I remember when I was a kid, we never took out the press of the fridge without asking permission. Mark, can I have a cake or a biscuit? My dad already provided it all. And she'd say, go on, son. I might have to go in. Even when I was a kid, I was a lot smaller. I'd take the chair and I'd reach up into that press. I'd take the cake or the biscuit. And that's what God wants and requires of. It's already yours, it's paid for. Father and son already paid for it. And so you just think, well, I'm not tall enough or I don't feel like up to it. Just grab a chair. Grab someone's hand beside you. And just reach up and take your healing. Take your freedom. Take your future. Take your hope. Take your deliverance. And take your joy. Take your joy back. Take your joy back. Condemnation's robbed it on you. Take it back. And hold it into your chest. And say, it's mine because of Jesus. My rescuer just doesn't get me out of a river. He sets me in a family. And all that is his is mine. And in faith, I reach out. Take your healing. Take your deliverance. Take your prosperity. Take your new job. Just take it off the shelf. Take your promotion. Say, yeah, Father, in Jesus' name, I'll just take what is mine. You says that word sozo means that you will do well. So do well in the name of Jesus. And guys, could I ask you to put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? Because remember, we're all priests. There's no big shot. We're all big shots. Our little shots. And just as a priest in the house, as a believer in Jesus, you don't have to know all the fancy words. Could you just say, Father God, would you bless this person? Would you know the name, say the name. With all that they need that Jesus has already provided. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, everything is in Jesus. Everything that God has is in Jesus. Everything. And Lord, we just reach out to one another and we pray blessing. We pray healing and freedom and deliverance. And we pray over each other prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you rescued me. That you've reached down in your son Jesus and you plucked me out of that raging river I was in and you put my feet on a dry ground, on a solid rock. And now you've given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise. And many will see and many will fear. Many will put their trust in God. Now guys, last prayer. I'm asking God to just do something in our hearts in this, right? Can I ask you to reach out to God and say, God, will you make me like Jesus, a rescuer? Do you know what I was thinking? Now, this has to be in God, because if not, we're going to do something silly. But here's what I want us to pray. I want us to pray like, do you imagine the man saying that was dying, that was going to his death? Imagine him saying, will you get out of me face? Will you get out of me grill? Will you stop like saying that you want to rescue me? Imagine him saying that. We'd say, you're a mad. And I'm not saying we get into people's grills or people's faces with the gospel and undo good work. But that as soon as the opportunity is there, would you reach out and help someone else? Will you reach out, look into the city, look into your life this week, and reach out to somebody that needs to know about Zozo, needs deliverance, needs healing, needs to be delivered from greed, or needs to be delivered from brokenness or heartache? Would you take the opportunity? Because Jesus says, now I pass the baton on to you, and I will back it all up with my power. So you're not even saying, Jesus, I have no pressure on me for you to be healed, because I'm not the one that heals, he is. So Lord, I release your church. I release your people, your co-heirs, the ones who you've given the message of rescuing to. I send you into our city in the name of Jesus, under the power of Jesus, to do what Jesus done, rescue people. And Lord, as a people, we accept your mandate upon our lives afresh. And all we want to do is reach out the way you reached out, Jesus. So if we see the broken, we will speak, reach out with healing. If we see people that are blind or people that are broken in body, we will reach out with a prayer of healing. People that need to be delivered, Father, from one situation to the next, we'll pray prayers. Those who feel fear, Lord, we'll pray prayers and see them come into protection. Lord, I pray for such a boldness to be upon us. Such a boldness to be upon us. Not in your face, over the top stuff that turns people off, but the real demonstration of the power of God in our lives and through our lives. The real demonstration. Paul says, I don't come to you with wise words of eloquence. I come to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I send you out under those words. Not with eloquent words, but I send you out in the power to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in your world and in my world. And I say, Jesus, help us be an answer to someone's craziness this week for your glory. And all the people says, amen. Guys, will you please stay with us for a cup of tea and then some fellowship. God bless.